It says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners so that people can see them. Yes, I tell you, they have their reward already. But you, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret. Your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on like the pagans who think God will hear them better if they talk a lot. Don't be like them, because your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You therefore pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us the food we need today. Forgive us what we have done wrong, as we too have forgiven those who have wronged us. And do not lead us into hard testing, but keep us safe from the evil one. For kingship, power, and glory are yours forever. Amen. And if you would pray with me the Lord's Prayer, starting with our Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Church, I'm coming to you with this assumption. The assumption is that if we choose to pray that prayer that we just recited, the Lord's Prayer, that we are accepting this invitation to pray a dangerous prayer by speaking these words and daring to live out these words in active mission, is to say that we are aligning ourselves with God's movement. We are taking missional cues from this Lord's Prayer. That is to say that there are some elements of this prayer that speaks directly to us as a people of God regarding our mission here on earth. We are here to be God's people. We are here to represent a people redeemed by God, renewed by God, and reconciled by God, with God. We have a message of liberation and salvation, a message of good news and the kingdom of God. We have a message of hope and love and joy and healing. To pray that prayer that we just prayed is to accept the call to be disciples or a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, and to accept the call to be a people on mission in the movement of God. And so I've called this body to a period of prayer. For the past several weeks, we have been considering the Lord's Prayer, not just as a model for our prayers, which it certainly can serve as a model, but as a launch pad, as a point of reference, where we look at what Jesus is teaching his followers to say, and more than that, what he is teaching his followers to live. And so we look at the Lord's Prayer, and we see these, what we like to call missional cues, which is to say that there's something in the words that Jesus is telling his disciples to say that are cues to some things. So if I could recap for just a second, for the past couple of weeks, we've looked at this prayer, and we look in the first week at the phrase, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we said that the first cue is to worship, that worship is something that should exude God's people. It should exude followers of Jesus Christ. We spend time in passionate and intentional and devoted worship to God, not just when we come together on Sunday mornings and sing songs and pray and do all the things that we do on Sundays, but every day of our lives we have been called to give our lives as a living sacrifice, because that is our worship and our devotion to God. Last week we focused on the second phrase, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray this because we believe that the kingdom of God is here. We believe that we have been commissioned to bring the reality of heaven here on earth, just as long as we live here on this earth. We're no good to this earth if we're so heavenly focused and we're no earthly good. We have been called to bring the realities of the heavenly realm here. And that's why we pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The good news of the gospel is for all, and we have been entrusted by God to be messengers or ambassadors of the gospel of Jesus in our society and in our communities, even to the ends of the world, ends of the earth. The phrase I wanted us to be thinking about is that we become a mission outpost. That was the second cue. So the first cue was worship, and the second cue is mission outpost. And so today we want to move to the third cue, taken from the phrase, give us this day our daily bread. I want you to consider being equipped. One of the lingering images I have of my father, among them are several, my father's laugh. Was a mixture of this high-pitched squeal and Muttley. How many people remember the dog Muttley from the cartoon? He had that little... Hey, that was just something that my father... That was a lingering image. But the other lingering image of my dad is that at whatever meal we had, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, my father had to have a piece of bread. He had to have bread with everything. What are we having for dinner tonight, honey? We're having bread. Well, I need some bread to go with the bread. It was just, my dad loved a piece of bread. He loved all the pieces of the bread. I think Patricia put something on Facebook a few weeks ago about the end of the bread. Like, what do you call it? We used to call it the butt of the bread. And I didn't like the butt of the bread. But my dad would eat any piece of the bread. He'd eat the butt, the head, the middle, the body. He loved bread. That's a lingering image, isn't it? Fascinating how bread has become just such an integral part of who we are. No matter where you travel or around this planet, bread is important. That's why years ago there were some folks that got upset at Dr. Atkins that came up with that Atkins diet that said, you know, you want to lose some weight and eat high protein, but you got to cut out all the breads. And you have these people sitting at Olive Garden and they bring out the breadsticks and they just sit there and they're salivating, knowing that they can't have a piece of that gooey, buttery, garlicky, just hot, steaming, just bread. And the other person that you're at dinner with, they can have the bread, but you can't have the bread. And you just want to take your butter knife and throw it at them because they can eat the bread, but you can't eat the bread. Isn't it interesting how much the importance that we place on bread in our everyday lives? There was a guy by the name of Norman Borlaug, and he knew something about providing daily bread. He lived in a town called University Park. It's an enclave surrounded by the city of Dallas. Norman is credited with saving the lives of close to 1 billion people from starvation because he developed a type of high protein, hardy wheat that grows in almost any soil. It was a feat so significant that he received the 1970 Nobel Peace Prize, or Prize for Peace, the Congressional Gold Medal, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom, accomplished only by four other people, Martin Luther King, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, and Elie Wiesel. And what he did was he created something that provided daily bread. You see, providing daily bread is something that is a vital and important task. Prayer is one of those activities that we participate in that is inundated with requests, right? You know, Lord, help us. Lord, forgive us. Lord, give us this and give us that. Lord, we need this and we need that. Lord, we are sick, so heal us, Lord. Lord, we are broken, so fix us, Lord. Lord, we are hungry, so feed us. The majority of our prayers is where we solicit God, the Father, to fulfill our needs. And listen, church, that's okay. That's okay. You see, to go to God with our needs is to recognize that He is the one who has the gift and the power to fulfill needs. Amen? To go to God with requests is to acknowledge that our God is listening. To go to God with so much is to declare that our God has it all and has the ability and the power and the skill to bless those who ask. Disciples of Jesus Christ know where their stuff comes from. Their food, their clothing, their shelter come from a Father whose nature is to give. Our God is a rich God. He has so many things, and it's in His nature to bless those who are in His care. He gives to them. That's the God that we see from Genesis to Revelation, that He is a God who is a Father who gives out of His abundance to those of us who have needs. One of the postures of prayer is to stand with palms up. You see, this is a posture of receiving from a God who gives. Now, as elaborate as our asking from God can get, the cue from the Lord's Prayer that we just prayed a second ago is an idea of simple trust and reliance on the Father. Give us our daily bread. The Greek text in Matthew could be read like this. Give us today our bread for tomorrow. The communication or there is communicated in this phrase an expectation of God's providence on a daily basis. There is no need to worry about tomorrow, because He's going to give us daily sustenance. He's going to give us our daily needs. There is also an expectation of being around for the next day. And since we are going to be around for the next day, Lord, give us what we need for the next day. And since we know where everything comes from, and we know that everything we need comes from You, we are coming to the Father asking Him to give us what we need for our journey. And this request flows out of a heart already committed to worshiping the Father. Remember cue number one. It also flows out of an understanding of being a mission outpost where God's kingdom is the way. God's kingdom reigns. Give us bread today for tomorrow. And give us what we need. We trust in You to supply what we need. We trust that You did not put us here to be a part of a movement and not give us what we need or not equip us. Yes, it's my firm belief that in this movement of God, that He will give us our daily bread, daily sustenance, daily provision, daily gift, daily portion. The blessing of living in God's kingdom is that He rules, He feeds, He equips, He prepares, and He fuels His people to serve and minister in the kingdom of God. Men and women of God, I'm talking to you. After praying this dangerous prayer where we are prompted to worship and take our place in the movement of God as a mission outpost, there is no need to fret or fear fulfilling the mission of God, because He will give us what we need. He will feed us and give us today what we need for tomorrow. We can pray this phrase of trust because it's a promise spoken by Jesus and modeled in the life of Jesus. Jesus, our Lord and the one we are following, didn't give in to worry for His daily sustenance. He gave in to the Father and understood that His Father would take care of Him no matter where He was at, whether He was with crowds, whether He was having intimate interactions with friends or sinners or whether He was in the desert. He knew that His Father was going to give Him His daily sustenance. He didn't worry about being equipped to minister to the broken world. He knew that His Father was providing for Him what He needed when He needed it. He would say later on, after He gives instructions about this prayer in this Sermon on the Mount, if you drop down to Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse number 25, Jesus speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to those who are a part of this movement. He's speaking to those who understand that following Jesus is the way. And he says to his followers, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, church, when the kingdom becomes first priority, we are not overwhelmed by lack of provision for the journey. We live in expectation of provision. I believe this is also true in terms of God's provision of gifts for the body of Christ in the kingdom of God. You see, I'm looking at a group of men and women that are uniquely gifted in ministry. I am looking at men and women who are equipped to be a mission outpost. I am looking at men and women who sometimes just need a spiritual reminder that they are children of the Most High God, and that he has empowered each and every one of you with his spirit to live out mission in this world as a part of his movement. Daily bread isn't just chicken and biscuits. Chicken and biscuits are good, but it's also teaching and giving and serving and mercy and pastoring. It's those gifts that are employed in our broken world to spread the message of good news and the kingdom of God. And God has gifted this body, both men and women, with daily bread and daily gifts. And we are equipped for this journey in the kingdom of God. Again, this isn't new teaching. This isn't something that's revolutionary. We talk about this all the time. I preach about this all the time. We talk in classes about this all the time. We give out spiritual gift assessments all the time. This is truth. This is what God is trying to communicate to us when we pray a simple phrase like, give us today our bread for tomorrow. That's a way of saying, God, you got us. You got this taken care of, and we trust in you. This is something that is an integral part of our understanding of the functioning of the members in the body of Christ. And this is why we are keenly interested in helping each and every one in this body to discover what your strengths are and what your gifts are. And not all of us have the same gifts or strengths, but collectively we embody a trust that God has equipped us today for tomorrow. Do you believe that, church? In the realm of brokenness, that seems to reign in our world today, we declare that the kingdom of God is here, and with it, a church full of kingdom participants who have been given their daily bread, food for the journey, along with a wealth of gifts and talents to address the brokenness in this world. We bring these gifts to bring blessing and goodwill and healing and compassion and love and a word concerning God's plan of redemption and renewal and reconciliation. Listen to the Apostle Paul speak about gifts, and Perry read this earlier during his thoughts about the offering. Romans 12:3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encourage, if it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You see, church, if we are a part of God's movement, then we are a part of something where everyone is involved. There is not this understanding that it's the sole responsibility of one or three or 10. It's not just up to the church leaders, not just up for the members that's been here the longest or the go-getters or the loud people at church. This is for everybody. This is what I like to call all skate. How many people know about all skate? You go to the skating rink. You know, we used to go to the United Skates of America back in Buffalo, and we go skating, and everyone was there. I mean, just everyone's there skating, and then the DJ come on. It's all right, this skate is just now for the couples, just the couples. And then everyone who didn't have a girlfriend, you know, all the saps like me had to come off and sit down and watch all those couples skating and doing they crisscross and all that stuff and everything. And then it's all right, this next skate is just for everyone that's over 21. And then all the over 21 people get on the skate, and all the kids got to sit on the sideline like, come on. And then you should have seen the crowd when that DJ said, all right, this next song is all skate. And everyone lost their mind and went on that skating rink. We was out there just you know, going backwards and doing all that stuff. That's what you do when everyone is involved. Listen, y'all know about that, don't y'all? You know, listen, church is about all skate. Everyone in here is involved. And when everyone is involved, there's an excitement going on. There's an understanding that I don't have to be left out. There's an understanding that I might not be the best skater. I might not be the oldest skater. I might not have a partner with me, but I can skate. I can participate. I can do something in this movement of God. Church, the kingdom of God is about all skate. I kind of like that. I got to write it down. The kingdom of God is an all skate. That's what we're doing. The young, the old, the men, the women can participate. The disciple who has been following for 70 years, the disciple who's been following for 7 days can participate. Our trust to accomplish what we have been called to do does not rest with our own ability, but a trust in a Father who will give us daily bread and whatever we need. That's the daily bread that I long for. Olive Garden bread is good. But the daily bread that comes from God, it literally knocks me off of my feet. It's the bread that I long for. It's like the Israelites in the wilderness being fed by daily manna. Our daily bread rests with our willingness to have faith that God will provide. You know, we looked at that story earlier in the year as we went through the book of Exodus, as the children of Israel had escaped Egypt, and in the wilderness and complaining of hunger, God said, listen, I got this. Every day I'm going to rain bread from heaven. He said, take what you need. Don't take more than what you need. And don't try to save it for the next day, because I'm going to rain some more bread the next day. And of course, there were people that took too much. Of course, there were people who tried to save some for the next day, and it rotted. It had maggots in it the next day. You know, I think that there's something in saying, give us today our daily bread, that should speak to us in a land of overindulgence about simplicity. You know, sometimes we eat too much and we waste a whole lot. I can get an amen on that. You can say amen on that. How many times do we go up and get a bunch of food and we eat a couple bites and we throw it in the garbage? Meanwhile, all over this world, there are people who are just aching for a few pieces of rice and hopefully they can get a clean cup of water. You know, here we are in America representing about 5 to 10% of the planet. Yet we use 60 to 75% of its resources. And we account for a just ridiculous amount of waste. You know, I heard someone say, you know, maybe we ought to think about living more simply so that others could simply live. What would it look like? What would it look like if we lived off of only what we needed? You ever think about that? You ever think that we could put a dent into poverty if we only lived on what we needed? Give us today our daily bread, our daily needs. I long for the bread of heaven that comes from God. Our daily bread isn't just a promise of morsels of bread. It's the promise of the Father's dailies, of his daily presence, and his desire to feed us and nurture us and take care of us and fuel for us in this movement. We are the children of God, and God is destined to take care of us. And just as a parent longs and desires for their children to understand that they will take care of them. You know, when a child gets an injury, you know, scrape their knee or scrape their elbow, and they sit them on the lap. Okay, I got this. Let me. And they're jumping. They're scared because they don't know. All the parent really wants is for the child to just understand that I'm going to take care of you. Is God asking any more of us? He just wants us to know, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of you, church. I'm going to offer to this church some bold ideas. I'm going to look at 2020 and say, you know, by 2020, we should be here. And I believe that God is going to equip us with what we need to reach it. All God wants us to do is trust him. All he desires from us is trust. And so when you pray, give us today our daily bread, it's a simple yet powerful declaration that we have faith in God for the journey. He's going to give us what we need. He's going to give us our food. He's going to give us our clothes. He's going to give us our shelter. He's also going to give us gifts. Yeah, I'm looking out at people right now that are gifted. I mean, just overflowing with gifts. And sadly, for some of you, you haven't used those gifts. It's time that you use those gifts. And it's not just a matter of you stepping up to use that gifts. It's also a matter of the body encouraging you and seeking you out and saying, we need you to use that gift. God gave it to us for a reason. He gave it to us so that we could serve as a mission outpost. And then we'll just go full circle and celebrate it in our worship to God. These are missional cues from the Lord's Prayer. This is a movement. And it's time for us to understand that we're part of the movement. Let's not leave the movement. Let's not stall the movement. Let's put our faith and trust in God, knowing He will supply our daily sustenance. You believe that, church? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Thank you for supplying our needs. Thank you for supplying gifts. Thank you for equipping us for this journey. Thank you for equipping us in this movement. God, thank you for declaring that no one has to be left out, but all can be involved. Thank you for the variety of gifts that you have distributed as you see fit. I don't have the power to give someone a gift. I don't have the power to control someone's gift. You give it as your spirit discerns. Father, help us to step out of the way to let people demonstrate and display their gifts in the body, in the community. God, thank you for your great love for us, your great care for us. And forgive us when we would dare not trust you or try to trust ourselves. But God, as little children, we pray the prayer of our daily bread with a firm grip or even a slight grip on an understanding that you take care of us. May our daily needs start with a daily need of your presence. And this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We long for God's presence. We long for a relationship with God. We long for an experience with God. We long to be fed by God. Yet, oftentimes, we don't have enough time to spend with God. We don't have enough time to give to God. We're too busy. I pray that as this week, focus on our daily bread. Focus on give us today our daily bread. But be mindful this week of taking intentional pauses in your day. Wake up. Not with saying good morning to your children or to your spouse or seeing what the weather's going to be like or getting that first drop of coffee. But wake up with that simple utterance. Give us our daily bread. Start with God and this simple confession that all I really need is you. I mean, we need food. I'm getting a little hungry right now. We need water. I feel a little dehydrated right now, actually. But what we ultimately need is God's presence. And what this world needs is God's presence. So as we sing this song of invitation, encouragement, whatever you want to call it, term it, if there's something that the church can do for you, minister to you, pray for you, there's something you want to share with the body, if there's a triumph you want to share with the body, if there's a need you want to share with the body, if there's a struggle you want to share with the body, if there's a profession of faith that you want to make in this congregation, you want to declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, you want to become a passionate follower of Jesus Christ, you want to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. As we're singing this song, here's a moment for you to do that. But know this, this doesn't have to be the only time you do that. If you want to make a declaration of faith, that you just say it. If during my sermon you say, I want to make a declaration of faith that Jesus is Lord, I will gladly shut my mouth. Because there's no greater word than someone standing up and saying in faith, Jesus is Lord. I mean that. But if there's anything that the church can do for you at this very moment, as Bill comes forward, we will receive your request and you can share with the body. Let's stand and let's sing.